Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to Melcom's webinar on employee engagement, exploring global trends, practices, and approaches. Thanks for joining us. My name's Alex Earl. I'm the head of advisory services for the EMEA region at Melcom, and I'm really proud to be part of a global team who brings alive our research through our monthly webinars. Just before we get started, I'll just cover a few housekeeping points. So if you have any difficulties today in hearing me or see the slides as they appear on my desktop, you can contact my colleague Zainab Sharif via the Q&A forum or at zainab.sharif@melcom.com, and she'll try to help you in any way that she can. As always, we will allow some time for Q&A towards the end, but we'll also be using the Q&A window to collect your feedback, and also we'll be doing some polls throughout the webinar to get your feedback and ask you a few quick questions as well. So hopefully you can participate in that. And then if we don't get a chance to answer all of your questions, then I will answer them afterwards. And you can always contact me afterwards if you have any questions that you think of at a later stage, by emailing me at alex.earl@melcom.com. And then we will have a hard stop after an hour out of respect for your schedules. But again, you can always follow up with me afterwards. Okay, so that's it for logistics. So let me just remind you very quickly what the forum brings to you as members on the next slide. So for those of you who are new or would like a reminder, the forum is that enterprise level membership that's dedicated to our senior internal communication leaders and their teams across the globe. So we really try to solve our members' most pressing internal comms problems by sharing unlimited and unmetered best practice research, global cross-industry expertise, and we do that via case studies, tools, webinars, and networking opportunities. So these monthly webinars are just one way in which we can share some of the teaching points on subjects that you've identified as really important to your organizations. And finally, just to note that these webinars are exclusive to our forum members and unlimited, so you and your team members can dial into as many as you'd like. And then we also record them and make the recordings available on our website for you to access and download after the event as a replay. So if you have any questions about your forum membership, how to use it, or want to find out more, please feel free to contact us and we'll be very happy to help. All right, so that's it for logistics then. So let's get stuck into today's webinar. All right, so why are we talking about engagement today? Well, employee engagement continues to be a key priority for many businesses, and for clear reasons. You know, research shows that for companies that do it well, customer satisfaction increases by over 40%. Profitability improves by nearly 30%, and overall performance can jump by 36%. And indeed, employee engagement insights from our own research show that the biggest impact on competitive advantage comes not from products or processes or technology, but from empowered employees. And as we see that the lines between internal and external communication becoming increasingly blurred, ensuring your people are engaged and empowered has never been more critical. But, you know, in today's rapidly changing business environment, discretionary effort, job satisfaction, and no intention to look for a new position are not really great measures of employee engagement anymore. Smarter employee engagement is about connecting the employee to what success looks like for your business, creating a culture that supports that, and then really building a powerful employee brand. So given the importance of employee engagement to the whole business then, many of you have been asking us recently for support with your key engagement challenges to help you really drive up engagement practices within your own organisations. So let's look at what some of those challenges include then. So who owns engagement? You know, what new and innovative approaches are there to engaging employees? How can we embed engagement practices into the culture of the business? How can we measure engagement? You know, are there alternatives to the annual survey? And if we are running a survey, should we be developing and running this ourselves or outsourcing it to a provider? And as for the results, you know, how do we even begin to start to act on them? So these are just some of the key questions and challenges that you have been raising with us for the last few months. And by no means will this webinar be able to tackle all of these, just to manage your expectations. But there are some key insights, some great case ideas and tips that we'd like to share today to really start tackling some of these at least. So let's take a look at what we'll be sharing with you today then. So engagement can be measured in different ways. And in fact, our own research team at Melcrum is currently exploring the noise that we're all experiencing and how it affects engagement at all levels, as well as our role as the connector in the organization. So this will be enable us to really better connect employees to the organization. So excitingly, in the next few months, we'll have research and insights to help look at more possibilities to share engagement insights. But currently, though, most organisations are reliant on the annual employee engagement survey as either their primary or only way to collate employee insights and measure engagement. So recognising that this is the case for many of you who've been asking for support with developing and delivering effective engagement surveys, we're going to focus the first part of today on how to optimise the survey approach. And this is timely because we've just completed a study in collaboration with Edelman Engage on global trends and practices in employee engagement with a particular focus on employee surveys. So firstly, we'll share key data and trends on what other global organisations are doing in the engagement survey space. Then we'll bring this to life for you by highlighting key ways to develop and manage your own engagement survey, including mistakes to avoid and tips for success, with lessons learned from one organisation, G4S, on how they ran a successful large-scale programme. We'll also dedicate time to the crucial step of action planning and share the approach that Boehringer Ingelheim took to really ensure that employee feedback resulted in impactful change. However, as I mentioned at the start, there are numerous ways to gathering data and insights to inform your strategy and collating those from employees beyond simply running your engagement survey. So the last part of today's webinar will explore approaches that Avery Dennison and Thomson Reuters have taken to collate insights from employees through employee communities and crowdsourcing. So lots to get through, but hopefully whatever stage you're at with your engagement plans and strategy, there'll be key insights and considerations for you to take away to inform your work in this area. So let's firstly get stuck into some data then taken from our recent study from Edelman Engage. And on this slide, what we've done is just map out some of the key statistics from this survey, just to let you know when it was rolled out, how many organisations participated. But let's have a look at what that survey has to share with us. So first of all, the positive news is that the majority, or 82% of respondents who completed this survey, agreed that employee engagement is important to the performance of the organisation. However, the not so positive news is that only about half actually have an engagement strategy in place to drive things forward. And even less, 51%, said it was seen as a strategic business issue in the organisation. Now, for those companies for whom it is a strategic business priority, though, they're the ones who are twice as likely to measurably improve engagement scores year over year. So this is really highlighting the importance of establishing engagement as a key strategic priority for your organisation if engagement is going to succeed. So I'd love to do just a quick poll here to understand how you compare with this. So let me just pull the poll up for you. Okay, so hopefully you can see this. So is employee engagement a strategic priority for your organization? You've got the options of yes, no, don't know, no, but it should be. Let's keep that open for a couple of seconds. Okay, open that up just a little bit more, a little bit longer. All right. Let's end the poll there and show you the results. So almost 83% of you, so overwhelmingly, you've said yes, that employee engagement is a strategic priority for the organisation, with less than 1% of you saying it's not, and less than 3% of you not knowing, which is also good news. And then 13% of you are saying that it's not, but it should be. So overwhelmingly really positive results there. So thank you for sharing that. All right, let's take a look then at what organisations are measuring then to really establish the levels of engagement within their organisation. So when asked, which of the following outcomes of engagement do you currently measure in your engagement research activities? Results show that these outcomes can be split into two key areas. So the eight most frequently measured areas tend to fall into the theme of HR and alignment focused. So you can see here that this includes pride in the organisation, which came out as the top area that's measured, followed closely by alignment with organisation's goals and vision, 77%, and thirdly, business strategy understanding at 72%. The remaining areas that companies measure then fall into this theme of customer brand and improvement focused. So including questions to measure engagement around customer or client connection, collaboration to improve delivery, and commitment to brand or organizational values. So interestingly, given the point we raised earlier around connecting your employees with your brand to empower them to be advocates for your organization, the questions relating to brand, to values and advocacy are actually measured far less frequently than others. And you can see that delivery of brand promise is coming out as the area that companies tend to measure the least. So if you're looking to develop an engagement survey from scratch, you know, this slide does provide you with a clear outline of the key areas that other organizations are measuring for you to consider for your own survey. But you may want to think about that connection to sort of brand and values and organizational values and whether that's something that you might prioritize a little bit more. Now, we'd love to know if there's other key areas that you're measuring that are not listed here. So please feel free to use the Q&A box to share other areas that you're measuring in your own engagement surveys. You know, we'd love to see what you're currently measuring. All right. Now we've looked at what they're measuring, let's take a look at how other organisations are currently collating this data. So overall, 88% of the organisations that were polled said that their company does measure engagement. And with 50% of those organisations achieving scores of 70% or higher. So this graph then highlights the approach that organisations have taken to measure engagement, to help us understand, you know, whether the approach that organisations take to measuring engagement has much impact on the actual engagement scores. But as you can see, there's very little difference in scores between these four categories. You know, whether you use an external provider, either to do surveys or focus groups, or whether you develop something in-house via survey or focus groups. So overall, the data is finding that, you know, using an internal or external model seems to make very little difference to engagement scores. So if you're cash rich and time poor, you might decide to outsource your survey. Whereas if you're cash poor, but you've got the time to develop a survey in-house, that might be the option for you. But either way, the data is showing that your route to developing a survey generally has little impact on the results. So with this in mind, for those of you who want or need to develop your survey internally, we'll shortly be sharing some key tips on how you can do this effectively. So another quick poll then, how do you measure engagement? You know, which of these categories applies to you? So let me just open the next poll and bring it out so that you can see it. Okay, so how do you measure engagement? Which of these is the right option for you? And now I have also put in other, but if you choose other, I'd love it if you could share in the Q&A window what your approach is. So do you currently use an external provider to run surveys? External provider, which I've spelt wrong, apologies, for focus groups. Do you run a survey in-house? Or do you run focus groups in-house? Or do you undertake another approach? If so, I'd love to see what that is. Right, keep that open for another couple of seconds. Okay, so this is showing slightly different results from what we found in the Edelman Engage survey. Let me just end it there, show you the results. So the majority of you, 64% of you, undertake your, well, measure your engagement through using an external provider, using a survey. And just over 31% of you do that yourselves in-house using a survey. With just a few of you, just over 3% using another form, I'm hoping that you'll share that, and very few of you using external providers for focus groups. All right, fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so what are these surveys showing then? You know, how are organisations doing in terms of their engagement scores? You know, what did the results show us? So encouragingly, as I just mentioned, half of organisations that were polled indicated that their average engagement score was above 70%. And then 57% of organisations polled stated that they'd seen an increase in their engagement scores over the past 12 months. And what's more, over a third of organisations who were polled indicated that their engagement score was higher than they expected. So this is encouraging news, you know, that organisations who are measuring engagement are seeing their scores improve over time. So what about your organisation then? You know, this is an opportunity for you to sort of compare yourselves against the respondents in the survey. You know, what sort of level of engagement scores are you achieving in general? And, you know, have they been what you've expected? So again, would love to do just a really quick poll for a couple of seconds just to say, you know, is this something, have you seen your employee engagement scores improve over the last 12 months? So just three quick options there. Yes, no, or potentially you don't know. This may not be something that you manage. We'd love to see that. Wow, the scores are looking very even at the moment. Okay, a couple more seconds. All right, let's end the poll there. Show the results. Okay, so it's very close. So literally about a third of you have seen your engagement scores improve over the past 12 months. Just over a third of you have not, and then just over a third of you are not aware of what the results are for your organisation. So that's interesting to see. All right, thank you. So again, while this is encouraging news that the organisations that we polled and that a third of you have seen an uptick in your results, there is still lots of room for improvement across the board. So let's take a look at what other organisations are planning to focus on to drive up those engagement scores in their organisation. So based on what respondents know about the factors that engage people in their organisation, these are the 12 priority areas identified by respondents as key to driving higher levels of engagement over the next 12 months. And again, we'd love to know what areas you're prioritising in your organisations to drive up your engagement scores. So again, please do feel free to use the Q&A window to share some of those priority areas now. So for those of you who are on tight budgets, you'll be pleased to see that reward is coming out as one of the lowest priority areas for engagement. And instead, you can see that making leaders accountable is a clear starting point for many organisations. With the majority of respondents, you know, almost three quarters of respondents are saying that leadership, followed closely by communication, are their top priorities for improving employee engagement over the next 12 months. And you know, it's crucial that leaders and leadership become this higher priority area for boosting engagement, as currently only 13% of the organisations that were polled stated that senior leaders are responsible for engagement activities. So as a result, employees seem to have little faith in those at the top, as our final data slide shows. So only 54% of respondents that we polled thought that their employees trusted that senior leaders would listen to their opinions. And even worse, only 41% felt that their employees trusted that some positive change would take place off the back of their research. So it's really important that organisations close the loop with employees and not only share the results from their surveys, but that they ensure that action is taken to respond to feedback and identify ways to positively impact the working environment, with leaders leading this change from the top. Yet action planning and implementing changes that will drive positive improvements and engagement is the area that was recognised as weakest in performance in the overall process of measuring engagement. So when we asked the respondents on, you know, where do you think you're strongest in the overall process and where do you think you need to develop, the area of action planning and implementing changes was easily the area where they needed to focus most. So a clear development area for us in internal comms includes focusing on how the results from engagement surveys will be analysed, shared, and most importantly, acted upon to drive positive change. And that involves making sure that leaders and managers at a local level are really engaged to make sure that these changes are embedded. Okay, so we've taken a brief look at what other organisations are doing to measure engagement in their organisations using surveys. And given that the results found that there's little difference in scores, whether you outsource or run it in-house, let's take a look at how you can develop and roll out an effective survey in-house to equip you to manage this yourself. So let's just start with a few key things to bear in mind when you're considering how to develop your engagement survey. Firstly, engagement surveys are undoubtedly a useful barometer of how people are feeling, and they can give you strong clues as to where issues lie. But crucially, they aren't the be-all and end-all. You know, they're generally strong at demonstrating and tracking how engaged employees are, and they contain useful signposts towards what needs to be looked into, but they rarely build a clear picture of why this is the case. So firstly, it's important to think, you know, why are you running your survey in the first place and what do you hope to learn? You know, is your survey aligned with your business goals? Are you asking the right questions that will help to understand whether employees understand the strategy, whether they connect to your brand, for example? Have you provided context for why employees should complete this survey? You know, what's in it for them? How will their efforts and time to complete the survey be repaid? And finally, have you allocated adequate time to analyse results and focus on action planning to make sure that it's not just a tick box exercise? So let's just start with some common mistakes to avoid then before we share with you some successful approaches to take. So before you start developing your survey or rolling it out, here's a few mistakes to avoid. So try avoiding, you know, to fail to identify a short list of priorities based on the results, or creating such a long list that it would be impossible to achieve everything. You know, think about what's feasible and where your priorities lie. Avoid jumping straight into action without root cause analysis. You know, what's the real context behind respondents' answers? Lift up and look at the bigger picture and identify what are the true issues before you take action. Try not to have too many and too generic questions. You know, keep it simple, keep it relevant, and make it easy for employees to complete. And then avoid not supporting your managers in responding to feedback or not making them accountable for driving up scores. You know, ensure that you involve them in the process along the way so that they understand the importance of the survey and what their role is in driving positive change as a result. And then avoid not closing the loop, you know, failing to communicate successes. Employees will only see the worth of your survey if they see the organisation responding to their feedback. Okay, so we've looked at what not to do. So let's focus on four key areas or four key ways in which you can create an effective survey then. All right, so firstly, to achieve a good result, it's imperative that you invest time on planning and preparation. So like I said, start by defining the purpose of the survey. You know, what is it you want to know? Who's responsible for carrying out follow-up activities based on the results? who's your target group? Is this your complete customer base or just segments of it? Think about how you distribute your survey. You know, doing it by email means that you can control who receives and responds to the survey. It means you can send reminders to respondents to prompt responses. However, don't forget to consider how you'll reach those who don't have access to email. You know, will you provide paper surveys, for example? Will you do it as focus groups? Or will you provide a laptop or PC on site for employees to use? When it comes to designing then, keep in mind that the text you use creates the very first impression of the survey. And upon reading that, respondents will decide whether it's worth spending time on it or not. If you can tailor your survey layout to match your company's visual profile, that will give it a more professional impression and brand experience. Your introduction text should introduce the survey in a short and straightforward manner. And then think about, you know, is this going to be anonymous or not? Should respondents have their identity hidden? And you know, we often find that anonymous surveys often receive a higher response rate. And then, like I said before, don't fall for the temptation of including nice to have questions. Keep the survey as short as possible. And as you think about the order of your questions, you start with a warm-up phase where you ask simple and complicated questions, then move into the kind of more important demanding questions, and then finish off with that cool-off phase where you're asking for demographics and additional comments. Make sure your questions are relevant, easily understood, and don't contain slang or abbreviations. And then think about how you can use routing so that you can direct your respondents to the next relevant question based on their answers from the previous one. Then when you think about the distribution of your survey, think about timing. So, you know, when's the best time for your respondents to receive it? For example, you might want to avoid publishing it first thing on a Monday morning or last thing on a Friday afternoon. But also think, you know, about what's a reasonable deadline for people to complete it. If it's too long, they'll probably just put it off to the very end. But if it's too short, you risk losing responses because people don't have time to build it into their workload. And then the last and most important part of your employee survey is analyzing those results and acting accordingly. This is why it's so important that you choose the questions carefully when building your survey. A common complaint from employees, to be honest, is that the business fails to communicate decisions and improvements back to them. So telling your employees how they'll benefit from improvements based on their feedback is the best motivation you can give them. It will make them feel important, it'll make them feel valued, and it will really increase the chance that they'll offer their feedback again. So make sure you follow up with your employees to inform them about results, inform them on the actions taken based on those results, and gather more information to continue improvements. All right. So let's look at how you can format your questions then. So, you know, it can be very difficult to analyze trends or improvements over time from just analyzing, you know, endless open-ended writing comments and surveys. So you might want to consider asking the following questions in focus groups first to identify the most common responses so that you can then use the feedback from those focus groups to craft questions that can be analyzed quantitatively. I can't say that word, sorry. So the answers from question one, for example, could be used to draft statements about employees feel. And then you could use a scale for those questions, ask them how often they feel each way. So example, almost all the time, usually, about half the time, sometimes, almost never. Then based on responses to question two, you know, what things have your managers done over the years to inspire you? You might identify five key inspirational behaviors. And then you might ask employees, you know, how often their managers exhibit each of those behaviors, and then how important it is for their own motivation that they demonstrate each of those behaviors. And then question three is something that you could ask in a focus group to try and identify maybe the top five words that employees can then choose from in a survey. Then when it comes to structuring your questions in the survey, try and avoid asking questions that can be answered by just yes or no. So, you know, results will be a lot more enlightening if you can write them as statements, you know, perhaps using a 5-point scale to see how strongly employees feel about each item. So We've given you an example here. You might want to use a scale running from strongly agree to strongly disagree. And then finally, remember that the more specific your questions, the more likely that management will interpret responses with the same meaning that employees had in mind when answering those questions. So as an appendix to this webinar, we'll share with you the top 10 most voted for questions for you to use in your employee engagement survey. But let's finish on this part around surveys by looking at some tips that we can learn from another organisation that's effectively run a large-scale employee engagement survey then. Looking at a case study from G4S. So G4S, as you may know, is one of the world's leading security solutions groups. They have around over 600,000 employees in over 220 countries, and with around 90% of those employees actually working on the front line. So they've been running their employee engagement survey about every 2 years since 2009, achieving on average scores such as 81% of their employees would recommend the company to others. So some of their top tips for achieving an effective survey are listed out here. So firstly, keep it simple. They just had 10 questions in year one, and they only increased the number to just 15 in year two to make sure that they kept it short and simple for employees to complete. Now, their questions are built around their PRIDE model, which we've outlined here on the right-hand side, and that's their engagement model that's used across the global business. So they just made sure to have two questions per element of the model, plus an open text question. Then to ensure effective communication, the internal comms team provided local HR coordinators and managers with toolkits that included hints, tips, and guides in bite-sized chunks to help them understand what was required from them in terms of communication, both pre- and post-survey, as well as what employees were expected to do. Then before they launched the survey globally, they undertook a pilot in two countries with hard-to-reach employees. And this pilot was hugely influential in the successful outcome of their survey, as the subsequent toolkits that I've just mentioned were written based on the findings and a true understanding of how the survey needed to be rolled out that they'd learned during that pilot. Now, employee engagement is a key objective for the board at G4S, but they needed to ensure this was cascaded across the whole organisation. So they had their CEO blog about the survey during the whole process, about notable landmarks, such as we've had 10,000 completed responses, you know, to really encourage people to take part. Then when the final results were published, he blogged again with the key highlights. And then they also made efforts to make sure that their senior leaders were engaged and were also involved to act upon local results. And then finally, they made sure to take a very sensible and practical approach to their survey to ensure as many employees could complete it as possible. In the end, their survey was made available both online and offline. They translated it into 10 languages and they kept it open for 4 months to enable as high a response rate as possible. Okay, so we've mentioned several times then about the importance of analysing your results and identifying actions that need to be taken to respond to employee feedback and drive positive change. And again, this is a key area for us to focus on because again, it was found to be the weakest area of performance in the whole process. So we're going to take a look now at how one organisation approached the action planning stage to see what we can learn. This is a case from Boehringer Ingelheim. So they are a global pharmaceutical company headquartered in Germany with just over 40,000 employees. And this case study really explores the approach that the US division took to ensuring that their organizational engagement survey outcomes were actionable. So one of the themes that was highlighted in employees' responses to work structure and process, which they identified as an area to improve. So as a first step, they took the 5,000 free text comments that had been shared by employees and identified which were relevant to this work structure and process theme. So they did this through a two-step process of both subjective and objective analysis to really understand what are the potential actionable items and to help them better understand what exactly was causing frustration around the work structure and process theme. So they spent time doing this, but found that this analysis didn't actually answer all of their questions, and they felt they needed additional context to really arrive at a true root cause analysis. So they decided to ask. And they did this by running their first ever all-employee online discussion for the US division. So for 1 hour, they had three senior leaders moderating a conversation around the topic of what's getting in your way. They received more than 80 comments from all across the US arm of the organization, which spanned functional areas and many seniority levels. And then these comments contained either additional potentially actionable items, or they expressed organizational guidance as to what they should concentrate their efforts on. They also found over the following few days, there were several thousand additional page views and comments offered. And because they'd used an enterprise social tool, they were also able to identify colleagues outside of their own networks who shared great insight and perspective on this work structure and process theme. So, following this event and their analysis, the team arrived at a list of six projects to consider pursuing to drive positive change in the organization. But they really only had capacity for handling three. So, to help them prioritize, they turned back to the senior leadership team and asked them where they should focus their time. So the top three priorities are identified here. So reviewing policies to simplify and keep those which are most essential and current, improving meeting practices and reducing time, identifying why this continues to be a barrier for so many people, and then enabling communication and organizational productivity through technology, which is committed. So it's communication and IT enabling drivers. So let's take a look at how they actioned this third priority then, and how they engaged employees in the process of looking at how to address this. So the committed team was composed of cross-functional employee representatives. So employees themselves were involved in the process of looking at how they could tackle the issues in this area. So these representatives were tasked with recommending how to safely enhance access to business solutions that support the sharing of knowledge. So these employees came together, and as a group, they achieved the following: enablement of corporate BlackBerry camera, video, and Wi-Fi functionality, which affected almost 3,000 of their US employees, creation of a BlackBerry application store, single sign-on, enablement of the Office Communicator Suite, and vetting and governance structure to ensure institutionalization. So lots of areas that were really important for them that really needed resolving, and they used employees themselves to tap into their own insights and experience to identify what those solutions could be. So following the successful adoption of this approach, using employees to provide that additional context to findings and then actually get involved to solve actual challenges, Boehringer have committed to sourcing talent to help them solve all further problems that they identify. So they see this as a non-traditional development opportunity for employees who they seek to engage by matching their passion, their interest, and their desire to develop with a well-defined project that addresses an issue that's been identified. So by taking this approach, they've already saved time and money whilst addressing issues that bother them all through engaging as many people as are interested in stepping up. All right, so Boehringer Ingelheim is a great example of an organization that's gone beyond simply just measuring engagement via a standard survey and taking those results and just running with them. Because they really took the time to collate that feedback from employees and then engage them in activities to actually solve the challenges. So again, we're going to be exploring alternative ways and additional ways to collate employee feedback on an ongoing basis through our next study. But for now, we've got two great innovative approaches to share from Avery Dennison and Thomson Reuters of how they've collated feedback and empowered their employee voice. All right, let's take a look. So Avery Dennison is a global leader in labeling and packaging materials and solutions that operates in over 50 countries with just over 30,000 employees. Now, a while back, their employee feedback indicated that staff were suffering from survey fatigue. So the Internal Comms team decided that what they needed was not just a better survey mechanism, but actually a way to harness the power and creativity of their employee voice on an ongoing basis, and also look at a way to bring leaders' employees closer together. So they'd successfully run an internal ambassador program previously, where known connectors in the organization were chosen as ambassadors to help revolutionize their town halls. So knowing that ambassador programs had worked well in their organization, they decided to go ahead and create The Beat. Now, this is a community of highly engaged employees from all business units and functions, geographies and positions. So these community members, the Beat members, are called upon once a month to participate in a full-scale mission alongside leaders from the business. So this involves providing crucial feedback to further a high priority strategic initiative of a business unit or function that comes from a business client. So clients are basically required to submit project request forms just to make sure that their missions are of a strategic nature and that they will have an impact on Avery Dennison's overall business objectives. So once they've submitted their mission, Beat members have between 48 hours and 2 weeks to collate their thoughts, to liaise with other Beat members, and to provide their response. And then in addition to these missions that they have once a month, they're often asked for their feedback maybe one or two times more during the month in the form of quick takes, which are like quick polls that are designed to, you know, take no more than sort of 60 seconds just to provide quick topical feedback to a business unit on a crucial issue. So once the Beat members have supplied their feedback to the client, the client must then come back to them with their feedback on how their input is going to be used. So this is a really important part here about closing the loop. It's one of the most unique qualities and perhaps critical success factors, because it really means that members are seeing what the tangible results are of their feedback and have this sense of accomplishment. So 2 weeks after the Beat provides its input, clients are responsible for taking their feedback and providing a blog post detailing how the findings of the mission and client plan, how they will use those findings to shape the actions moving forward. So Beat members can immediately see how their feedback is making a real difference, and it makes sure that the Beat community is really around shaping the future of the company, you know, challenging conventional wisdom and delivering business value. Now, in addition to solving real business issues, though, there's a really strong value proposition for employee participants. You know, the Beat provides global networking opportunities. It allows employees to preview new initiatives and gives them a unique opportunity to be heard. Then for leaders, they've also got great opportunities to source employee voices to push their strategic thinking, to avoid costly pitfalls, and also to tap into innovative new ideas and build their employee champions. And the results have been really impressive. In the first 3 months, the Beat validated the goals of the Avery Dennison Foundation. They sourced employee content for their employer brand, and they provided crucial feedback on bringing the company's key financial objectives to life for employees. So the success of these high-profile missions has really helped to cement the Beat's position as this key strategic force within Avery Dennison and really empowered employees around the globe to share their important input with key decision makers. So I'd love to just pause there for a second and then ask whether this is something that you have done anything similar with in your organization. So have you ever used, let me just bring the poll out here, sorry. Do you use ambassadors or employee networks to collate feedback or insights to inform business decisions in your organization? Just leave that open for a few seconds for people to respond. Okay. More seconds, your last voters. All right, share the results then. So Over almost 53% of you use them occasionally, with 20% of you using them frequently. Only 7% of you have never used this, and 20% of you have not, but would consider doing so. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right, let's move on to our last case study then, from Thomson Reuters, and explore their approach to empowering employee voices through crowdsourcing. So, for Thomson Reuters, its collaborative hub platform has been critical to connecting employees around projects and collecting fresh and innovative ideas by empowering their employees to get involved. And as a result, the company solved some of its biggest organizational issues and challenges. So, on the left, you can see that we've called out one part of their collaborative platform, that is the Innovation Network. So, this is their forum online to collate employee ideas, thoughts, questions, suggestions, and solutions to real business challenges. So each business challenge has its own page outlining a summary of the situation, so the context, the problem, the goals, with an invitation to get involved through an idea fest, so enabling employees to share their potential solutions. Then, once the problem page is launched, there's an executive sponsor who highlights the issue and with whom you can live chat at certain times if you've got ideas to share. So similarly to Avery Dennison, there's a structured process in place to ensure that these are real business challenges that need resolving with employee support. You know, it's not just a sophisticated suggestion box. There are in fact real diverse business problems which generates a real buzz across the business. And importantly, a big deal is made about the outcomes. So people are nominated for their contribution to solving problems across the organization, and there's real reward and recognition. So they've got a dedicated awards page that outlines how employees' ideas have been brought to life so that people can be inspired by how their own peers are solving real business problems and encouraging them to get involved with ones themselves. So this means that employees want to get involved, and it gives them a structured way to share their voice. So again, the real benefits of this approach, as you can see on the slide, so not only for sponsors, I mean, they get the opportunity to drive a collaboration, to establish a community of innovators and identify key talent, but also for employees who get the opportunity to be heard, you know, to contribute their thoughts, their solutions, display their talents, challenge their knowledge, and intellect, and gain reward and recognition. And on the right-hand side, as you can see, there are huge business benefits, as Thomson Reuters has identified solutions to over 300 challenges now. And that's just by tapping into their own employees' experiences and encouraging them to get involved with solving organizational problems and sharing their voice. So again, quick poll. Loving the polls today. I want to make sure we get plenty of feedback from you. So last but one poll, see if we can open it. Is whether you are using any kind of crowdsourcing in your organization to collate employee insights or feedback to help solve business challenges. Leave that open for a couple of seconds. So, do you use any form of crowdsourcing to collate employee insights to help solve business challenges? Yes, frequently. Yes, occasionally. No, never. No, but would consider doing so. Right, let's end the poll there and share the results with you. Okay, so almost 18% of you do frequently use crowdsourcing. 25% of you use it occasionally. 14% of you have never used it, but the majority, well, majority, almost half of you haven't, but would consider doing so. Okay, well, hopefully the Thomson Reuters case has inspired you. And, you know, all of these cases are available on our website with full details so that if you are interested in implementing any kind of approach that you've seen, you can learn more details. All right, so we started off citing the real benefits of employee engagement, and we've closed that loop by showing you some real tangible results experienced by another organization. And we've covered a lot in this webinar, I know. So let's quickly recap on what we've explored and what the key insights are for you to take away. So, I think we've agreed there are numerous ongoing challenges with engagement that we all face. And like I said, we've not tackled them all today, but hopefully we've shared some insights into approaches that you can take in your own organization. So, first of all, it's crucial that engagement is seen as a strategic priority for the business to achieve success. And don't forget, those organizations who have established engagement as key to their business objectives are twice as likely to measurably improve engagement scores year over year. We've seen that engagement surveys continue to be undertaken by many organizations, and we've shared some key data around how they approach this, what they're measuring, and where they're focusing their attention to improve scores. So if you are developing a survey from scratch or looking to review yours, hopefully we've shared some really interesting and thought-provoking data for you to consider as you look at what work you might want to do with your own. However, as we've mentioned, be careful to use surveys as a barometer only and ensure that you identify additional ways to collate further context and ongoing insights to inform decisions and drive positive change. So again, look out for our upcoming study in the next couple of months in which we'll explore ways to collate audience analysis and respond to employee feedback through the noise that permeates across our organizations. And as I mentioned, in the meantime, more information on all of the cases we've explored can be found on our website at melcrum.com. Before we pause for questions, then, let me just quickly remind you of the next webinar date and time. So the next webinar will be held a month today, Wednesday, March the 11th, at the same time. And more information on the topic of this webinar will be sent out shortly in the webinar invites. So I'm just going to pause there then and take any questions you may have. I know there's been various questions that you've been submitting in the question window, and I've been very lucky to have Kelly Parsons on the line, who has been facilitating and answering some of those questions, I believe. So I'm going to just take a look at those, but if you have additional questions, now is the time to pop those in. And I'll also just bring up our last poll for those of you who don't have questions and who are ready to go make a cup of tea or to finish your day, just to see. Would love to always get your feedback on our webinars to practice what we preach. So we'd love to get your feedback. How would you rate the value of today's webinar? From excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor. And I will have a look at what our questions are. But if you are leaving now, just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure to share our research with you today. I really hope it's been helpful and insightful. Aidem and Engage are yet to release the full study of all of their results, but hopefully we've given you a nice sneak preview there. And do stay in touch and let us know what questions you have, how we can support you, how you're approaching engagement in your own organizations. We always love to share best practices. That's what we're here for. All right. I'm going to take a look at some of your questions then. So, we've got a question here around what are the most popular survey questions? So, that's yes, very good point. So, this is in the appendix here, and the slides will be made available on. I can show this without blocking off the questions, but you can see them there. The slides will be available on the website after today's webinar, so you'll be able to. Download that. And also, if you just go onto our website and literally type in our search bar for top 10 questions, top 10 engagement questions, they will come up with the full article on the questions and also providing guidance around how to structure those questions that I touched on briefly earlier on, around which ones to focus on in maybe focus groups, how to use maybe a 5-point scale, etc. But these were the top 10 questions that people voted on. Okay. Right, Suki, I think Kelly is answering your question there at the moment. Just see if there's anyone else who has any questions. I see any raised hands. Just checking. Okay. So that's some great feedback that people have shared. So people using a combination of different approaches to measure engagement, using both in-house and externally provided surveys. Someone else has shared that they measure manager effectiveness and it makes a big difference in the discussions that they have when they share the survey results. Priorities for another organisation include collaboration and communication. Another organisation, priority areas for engagement are culture, values and leadership. Another organisation has a manager index embedded in their survey, which the managers find very useful. Another organisation shared that social enterprise networks are excellent for this type of feedback and involving employees in solving business challenges. So, in terms of building engagement post survey, Tanya, I think Kelly's about to answer your response, was about to answer your question. And I will now close the poll. Okay, so thank you very much for your feedback. All right, that's the end of the questions then. We will close today's webinar. Thank you so much again for joining us. And please do let us know if you have any additional questions and very much hope you can join us for our next webinar at the same time next month. All right, many thanks, everyone.